they're all bent, so they're just wanting to fall right off the table here. And I need them because I have 7 of them today. Whoa, what's going on here? So usually I just preach a lot from what's in my mind today. There's a lot of scripture, so this is all scripture, 7 pages of scripture. But it's hit and miss, so don't worry, I'm not going to sit and read Psalm 119, although it'd make it easy. The other thing I was hoping is someone would have a word, and then they'd have a word, and they'd say, that said it. So you guys can be dismissed, but I guess not. So what I'm going on today is, in November, a lot of times within the United Brethren, the month of November is a focus on missions, on missionaries, on missions. And just trying to give you an idea here on what we got covered here, just with our small body, is I like to people to either stand up or share some places they've been, because I know I've been to Ethiopia on a mission trip. That's one place I've been. Somebody's been to Jamaica. I'm not sure who, but somebody that doesn't like to talk too much. She's smiling back there. Raise your hand if you've been to Jamaica. All right. And then Poland. We've had several go to Poland. So how many have been to Poland? Yeah, quite a few. Sierra Leone, we know there's a lot there. Honduras, I know we have a Hondurans. And so what are other countries? Kyrgyzstan. Kyrgyzstan. I know there's a stand. Huh? Brazil. So, and then we have missionaries in Russia. And then again, Poland. If you think about it, just our church, we've been to North America, South America, Central America, Europe, Africa, Asia. We've been to almost every continent within this body, sending out someone for missions. And then, of course, here at home, how many of you guys been to Laurel, Kentucky? There's a lot of us. We just got back from there. I'm going to see if, there may be some technical difficulties today. And we're coming to have a feast here. Donuts for everybody. So I guess I will still continue to talk about where people's been. But how many of you enjoyed Kentucky? Who went this year? So raise your hand if you went this year. There's 2 of us here. The rest of them are here today. How many went last year? We'll do that. So we're still just wasting time here. There must have been an issue with the video. There were some issues with rendering. Just like when you go to a mission trip, you start on a project, and things don't always go the way you plan on it going. And then you get glitches, and you get things that don't go right. You find a window that's like, this is way off whack and loose. Whoever put it in didn't put it in right. So you sit there and you put it in and get everything ready, make sure it's plumb. And then you find out they said, oh, we haven't set windows yet. We just put them in there to block the wind. Oh, okay. So we make mistakes. Ray, how are we doing?
Getting there.
Okay. Okay, yes, 1 more second. Okay, we're ready to go then. So in Ray time, that's 5 minutes. So we may come back to it. May come back to it, and I'll continue on with what I was going to talk about. Mission. The word mission is actually first appeared in 1598, so it's not in Scripture, the word mission. The Jesuits used it. And they used it in regards to sending people out from the word missio, from Latin, which is the act of sending. So they would send members outside of their mission, outside of where they were at, to other areas. If you look at the definition online or a definition in the book, it's a specific task with which some group or person is charged to, as in, you're charged to go out, you're charged to do something, you're sent to accomplish something, or the act of that accomplishment too, as in, my mission is to serve animals or to do some project is the mission that you've been called to, or calling or vocation like a veterinarian. But in specific specifically what we're talking about today is that sending. Like Nick talked about, the word apostle means one sent, or a sent person. This is the act of sending. This is the sent. This is the one to send to others that do not know. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you hear the word mission? Any scriptures? One they use a lot? The Great Commission, yes. That's what you think about first when you talk about missions. That's what's usually brought up right away. Jesus came to say, "All authority in earth, heaven and earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and I am surely with you always, very to the very end of the ages." And many of us believe that's when missions started, with Christ commissioning us to go and talk. That's when the Gentiles were included in the plan of God. Almost as the Jews didn't work out, now we're going to the Gentiles. The mission, sending, started way before then. And just a few verses further up, Matthew 23, actually, the Jews and the Pharisees were actually already going out, getting converts and bringing them in, because that's what they felt was their duty. But he was woeing the Pharisees. "Woe to you teachers and laws and the Pharisees, you hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert. And when you succeed, you make them twice as much of a child as hell as you are." In the wrong way, but they were going out. They were trying to convert people, but with the wrong motive of what God had. So what was God's mission from the start? You got it? Okay, so maybe or yes. So before we start the sermon here, well, we started it, but that's okay. So we want to show you the video here of what we did this year in Kentucky. Share just a little bit of the mission. This is what we had to put up with.
I talk the talk that I don't want to miss the moments right before.
So it is fun. I think it's going back through again. Yep. So it was a fun time. Horseradish. There is fun in games, and there's also seriousness in helping them. So, ate horseradish. It was fun watching them. The stories of Michael came up during that time. And his horseradish battle with Ray that he lost. So anyways, so missions was on the mind of God from the very start. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." From the very beginning, God wanted men to represent Him to the world. In this subduing, it's more like cultivating, like bringing into measure God's kingdom here on earth, what God wanted here on earth, to reflect God to creation, to be the mediator between God and direct that towards creation. And of course, Satan wanted his part in it to ruin everything on, quote, God's plan, but God's bigger than that. And he got sin in, and then that broke that part that God had planned from the beginning. But he didn't plan it. He knew all the other stuff. That's what makes it so hard to sometimes preach, because we do it in a human form that says linear stuff, but God knows from beginning to end, and he knows everything that's going to happen in between. And so therefore, he knew this was his plan, was what's happening now, even though it seems like his plan had got messed up. But it's still a mission to send, so everyone would know that God is God, and not just the Jews, not just the chosen ones. As in Abraham, "I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and will give them these lands, and through the offspring all nations will be blessed." Saying to Abraham, all nations will be blessed through Abraham's seed. So at that point, even with in that regard, God was planning, and he knew that the Gentiles were part of this plan to know Christ, to know salvation, to know God from the very beginning of time. In Galatians 3:8-9, Paul says that Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham, and that all nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So Paul reflects back to what God had given Abraham the promise of, to let the Gentiles are anybody that aren't Jews, so you know it's all of us, that they're part of the plan too, and the Jews were just the means of getting the Gentiles there. Even the plagues in Egypt, you think of, you know, the locusts, the blood, the dying of the firstborn, yes, they freed Israel from Egypt, but they also declared the glory and the power of God to the nations. Because as Israel went through the desert, what was the talk of the nations and tribes around them? They are the people God delivered from Egypt. They are the ones that God had chosen. They are God's. So it wasn't just to deliver Israel out of Egypt. It was to let all people know that God is a God of heaven and he wants relationship with them. All through the Old Testament, God's desire for everyone to know him is just spilled out over and over again. Deuteronomy 28, 9 through 10, it ends, "Then all people of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you." 1 Samuel 17, 6, "And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." Always that there is a God in Israel that wants them. 1 Chronicles 16, 21, "Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nation, the Lord's reign, among the nations that the Lord reigns." Into Psalms. He declares it a lot in Psalms. Psalms 2, "I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I become your father. Ask me, and I'll make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possessions." Psalms 22, "All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over all the nations." Psalms 46, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." God proclaimed his mission to Abraham. God revealed his mission through the Psalms, through the songs that they sang. And in the Old Testament, God also revealed his mission through the prophets. Isaiah 2, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." The word of the Lord, God's words, will go out from Jerusalem to the nations. Isaiah 24, "They will raise their voices. They will shout for joy. From the west they will acclaim the Lord's majesty. Therefore in the east give glory to the God. Exalt the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. In the islands of the sea, from the ends of the earth, we'll hearing glory to the righteous one." For the whole earth to be declaring God's glory and majesty was the plan from the beginning, was the mission from the beginning. Isaiah 60, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. But see, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness over its people. But the Lord rises up, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." That was a word for Israel and a word for us. In the darkness, people look for light. Today's message or verse of the day on the Bible app was, light on the hill, be a light on a hill, and you may see, so others may see, presence of God in you. In Jeremiah, "At the time they will call Jerusalem the throne of God, and all nations will gather in Jerusalem to honor the name of the Lord. No longer will they follow their stubbornness of their evil ways." They will gather in Jerusalem to honor the name of the Lord. The nations, not just Israel. Micah 4:2, "Many nations will come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God. He will teach us his ways so that we will walk in his path. The law will go out from Zion and the word of the Lord to Jerusalem." Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the world, as water covers the sea." So God's glory will cover the earth as waters cover the sea. Is there any part of the waters or the seas that's not covered by water? by very definition, there has to be water there. So as the water covers the sea, so the glory of the God will cover the earth, will cover the entire earth. Nothing unshaded by the glory of God. Zephaniah, the Lord will be awesome then, and he will destroy all the gods of the earth. Distant nations will bow down to him, and all of them in their own lands. So not only in Jerusalem, but in their own lands, they will bow down to the God of heaven, the one true God. Zechariah 2:11, many nations will be joined with the Lord in that day and will become one people. I will live among you, and you will be, and you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. One nation of the whole world. Malachi, my name will be great among the nations from where the sun rises to where it sets. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to me because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. All through the Old Testament, through the history, through the Psalms, through the prophets, God's declaring his mission, his plan, the reason of being, that we are to him his children, his desire to have a people praising his name and the whole world praising his name. Through the whole Testament, not just since the end of Matthew when Christ sends us out. Christ himself even saw it, even with the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. To proclaim God's glory on earth as his glory is in heaven. That all should have a chance to know God and know who he is. You know the Jewish people are looking for this too because, his name just flipped my mind. In the courts when Jesus came to be circumcised. Simeon, thank you. Oh my gosh. I love that guy, but I couldn't think of his name. He saw Jesus and he says, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelations to the Gentiles and the glory for your people, Israel. A light for the Gentiles, so the Gentiles will know and be able to see and become into the kingdom. Luke 10:2, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. The Lord of the harvest, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the field. To send out workers, mission, send out the workers. In Romans 10, it says, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is the Lord of all, richly blessing all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For everyone who calls on, how then will they be called on the one they have not believed in? Or how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How can people know if people aren't sent? Who is sent? Who is sent? All of us. All of us are sent. Not just to foreign countries as we think of missions, or just other states, but to where we work, to where we live, to where we walk. We are sent by God on a mission to declare his glories and to let his light shine. We all know the other part, Acts 1 through 7. He said, it is not known to the hour of the date, the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power on the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses in my Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Acts 2. So what's cool about Acts 2, you know, we've talked about how God wants and sends us to nations, how he sends us to people. Acts 2, what was going on during Acts 2? It was Pentecost. One of three holidays that people, Jews, from around the world, the known world at that time, made their way to Jerusalem. So not only going out, he brings people in. And what happened then when the Spirit of God came upon them? People spoke in tongues and languages, not just random tongues, but actual languages. And those languages were the languages of all the people that had come from those surrounding countries. All of a sudden it was released that God's glory, God's mission came there and was spread. So it's not about all going out. Sometimes God brings those that he wants evangelized, that he wants the mission of God to go forth to us, and we don't have to go out. But sometimes we are so blind to it, we don't see it. In this, you know, when he says that you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world, a lot of times you think of that, of God being sending us out to our community, our county, our country, and then the world. But if you look about what's going on during that time in Jerusalem and the way they think, the Jewish people think, you can also interpret this that he wants to be our witnesses in all Judea, which is our family and our friends, the people that we are associated with all the time. I mean, with Jerusalem, that's Jerusalem, I'm sorry. In Jerusalem, our family. In Judea would be our neighbors, the people that live around us. And then Samaria would be our enemies, our family, our friends, and our enemies. That puts another picture on it. Do you want to be a mission, a light to our enemies? God's calling us to do that. Not to only those that we like, not only those that are around us, but to those that we can't stand. And we all have those people. We want to be a light to the Gentiles, a light to the ends of the world. And why is that? Because God has a plan. His plan involves everyone on earth. We see darkness. We see it seems like the enemy winning. The world seems darker and darker and darker. But the cool thing is, the victory's already won. And God knows that's not correct. God knows it's not correct. The victory can be won in some little things too. I'm going to brag on my little daughter a little bit, not the one sitting here so she's embarrassed, but the other one, Anna. She was struggling with what to do with Halloween. Because one side says, do not celebrate Halloween. You know, the other side says, it's just a holiday. She was struggling with it. She decided what to do was, she sat and handed out candy on her door. She turned on the lights. And on her door frame was, Jesus has conquered death. And she not only handed out the candies, but she handed out hand warmers. Gave him something that is a treat, but also gave him something that was needed, because that was a cold night. So she took the opportunity for the world to come to her door and proclaim that Jesus conquered death. What better way to celebrate Halloween? I don't know of anything better. It's the best way in the world to celebrate it. But in the end, we look at Revelations. We look at what they said. Then I, after this I looked, and before me was a great multitude. We know in the end there's a great multitude that no one can count, from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands and cried out, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits upon his throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne, and the elders of the four living creatures, four corners of the world, fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever." Then he looked around and heard voices of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s upon 10,000s. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders in a loud voice. They were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and glory and praise and honor." And then they said, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be the praise, honor, glory, and power forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped him. Our mission is to bring the kingdom, people into the kingdom, not necessarily the kingdom on earth, but the kingdom in the sense that they know God, that they may worship him. We're going to end up with communion, but communion is going to be more than just, you know, taking it, remembering a God. We want to focus on that he is worthy. He is in heaven now, seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And may all praise and glory and honor to him. Mission means to send. Are we going to be like Isaiah? "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Isaiah responded, "Here I am. Send me." Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to say, "Here I am. Forgo everything. The fields are ripe for harvest." Pishon, it means the fattened cow. It means the area is ripe. It means that everything is ready to go and be struck down and harvested for God. He needs workers. Are we willing to say, "Here am I. Send me"? As we take communion, let's focus on that and praise God. Praise God for everything we have. So we'll just do it as we normally do, where you can just go serve yourself, come back to your chairs, and take it on your time, okay?